My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Now the count 1-2. Angels down to their last strike. And the pitch by Neris, swing and a miss, strike three. Cubs win the ball game. Neris gets the save. Cubs win the series 2 out of 3. And the final today, 5-0 here at Wrigley Field.
That was heard yesterday right here on 670 The Score, your home for Chicago Cubs baseball. I am Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday evening. Get back into some Bulls talk coming up here at about 8:20, 8:25. But joining us now to continue the Cubs talk, she covers those Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. Pleasure to welcome in Megan Montemuro. Megan, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was doing a stupid sports talk radio bit before I brought you on called the pie chart of blame, where we were sort of doling out blame to all the people involved for how this Cubs season has gone. I don't expect you to participate in my dumb antics, Megan. I'll just give you the sort of the gist of what I was saying was this mostly comes down to guys underperforming. Like, we can point to Craig Counsell, we can point to Jed Hoyer, things they have or haven't done, but when you have the core of your position players as a whole not performing up to expectations, it's hard to overcome that. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, again, like you said, you can question some of the roster construction, you know, that Jed Hoyer in the front office built in the offseason. You know, if you want to question some moves Craig Counsell has made, sure, but, like, ultimately players have to perform, and, you know, they have enough guys on this roster, in the lineup in particular, that have the type of experience and are getting paid the kind of money where consistency is a necessity for a team that obviously they don't have that true superstar offensive hitter. So you need those guys to collectively put up, you know, their career numbers. And, you know, you're seeing some signs of that changing. You know, Ian Happ has been looking really good the last few weeks. Say, Suzuki, he's showing some signs. Obviously, Michael Bush, you know, he's having a great rookie season. But just like the consistency hasn't been there collectively offensively, and it's obviously cost them a lot of games.
Can they turn things around fast enough, do you think, Megan? I was talking earlier in the show about, you know, just last season, a team that was underperforming all the way up until the All-Star break, and then they get hot in late July, so suddenly turn things around and are right in the heat of a playoff mix until they crumble in September. Could we see a replay of that, or do you think that this team is broken up to some degree between now and then?
I mean, they definitely have the type of starting pitching you need to be able to go on a run, because they should do a pretty good job of keeping them in games, which is obviously going to give you ample chances to pull out the win. But, you know, it's going to be a tough path forward. I mean, this upcoming week going into the break, you know, you're playing three in Baltimore, and then you have four games in 3 days in St. Louis. Like, that's a pretty challenging schedule heading into the All-Star break. But obviously, you know, they need to show the front office that at the very least it's worth keeping the group together to see if they can put something together over the final 2 months. I mean, when you look at how crowded the NL wildcard race is right now, like even for where they're at, they're 5.5 out of the last wildcard spot, which, you know, there are quite a few teams in front of them, obviously, but, you know, they have the type of talent that, you know, makes you feel like they should be in the race by the end of the year. But it's obviously not a good spot to be in. They talked about last year at the end of the season that they couldn't afford to put themselves in that kind of position again, and here they are. And so obviously there's a lot of questions about whether they can put that together.
Yeah, and you talked about the playoff picture right now, and adding the expanded playoffs that we've seen here recently in Major League Baseball, I think has had an effect on the trade market, where you have more teams that feel like they're in it, whether they are or not, Megan, that you have less sellers and more buyers. Do you think the Cubs are, and a lot of teams around baseball are a little gun shy about pulling the trigger on a season when they see that extra wild card spot sitting there seemingly within reach?
Yeah, and I think, like, you look at teams in general, they always want to add pitching. But I mean, if you look at the Cubs, you know, they really need some more consistency offensively. So, like, what team is going to be giving that up? Because you look at the NL, outside of the Rockies and the Marlins, every team is either, you know, leading their division, and if they're not, they're within 5.5 games of the last wild card spot. So that is a lot of teams in that limbo space, where, you know, maybe some try and do addition by subtraction and move some pieces around. But when you look at how the Cubs are constructed, I mean, you have guys with no trade clauses, you know, in terms of Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki, or partial ones with Jameson Taillon. Obviously there's some bullpen pieces that they could move if they wanted to, but there's not necessarily a whole lot of change that they can really unload, unless they want to kind of be creative in how they do it potentially. So yeah, there's not a clear path forward. And I think that's, you know, what the next, you know, week, and then the week after the All-Star break is really going to set up, you know, who potentially is going to be looking to sell.
Yeah, and you mentioned those guys with the no trade clauses. I know Cody Bellinger has a player option on the next 2 years of his contract that are quite lucrative for him, should he choose to opt into those. They don't have the most movable pieces right now if they were to be sellers at the trade deadline, do they?
Right, and that's why, you know, do they try instead take an approach of, you know, you're trading to add somebody who, you know, they have under team control for the next couple of years? You know, I'm thinking like kind of what they did with Michael Bush, identify somebody who might be blocked in another organization that you think could be an upgrade. But also when you look around the diamond, I mean, there's not that many at-bats available. I mean, obviously third base is a question mark with, you know, Christopher Morel's performance. Catcher obviously has not been a position where they've gotten enough offensively. But beyond that, I mean, they have guys that have, you know, multi-year deals, or you have a guy at first base in Michael Bush who you're going to be wanting to get most of your reps. So where you're going to even find some of those at-bats is going to have to come, you know, kind of like I said, if you're going to move maybe one of those bigger pieces to create that path forward. So it's not a great position to be in, and obviously one that the Cubs had not envisioned playing out coming into the season, given the talent that they had returning and the additions they made in the offseason. But unfortunately, they're going to have to find a way to dig out of it again if they're going to make the postseason.
Talking with Megan Montemiro, covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. Joining me, Rami Makhlouf, here on The Score on a Monday evening. Is Jed's Hoyer, I know it's not hot, is Jed Hoyer's seat warm? And I know it is among Cubs fans. I don't know how much time you spend in the dark corners of social media, Megan, when it comes to sports talk, but a lot of Cubs fans are starting to lose their patience, or at least wonder if he's the wunderkind that he was sold as when he took over for Theo Epstein. Is his seat warm at all when it comes to the Ricketts and what direction they might go here in the future?
I mean, I think a big part of that question and answer is what happens the next 2.5 months. Do they find a way with the team that he's put together to get into the postseason? So I realize that might be a little bit of a cop-out answer, but mm-hmm. I do think that has a big impact on how you look at this team. I mean, obviously they have underperformed. I don't think anybody would deny that. Jed himself has made very clear that, like, you know, they haven't played the way that they thought they would. The slump that they had went well longer than they could have envisioned. And so, yeah, I mean, at that point, you know, if they miss the postseason again, you have to take a closer look at the roster construction and how the team was put together. And so, yeah, I think if they miss the postseason again with this group of veteran players that they've assembled, there certainly has to be questions and scrutiny on the front office and the decisions that were made the last year or two.
I wanted to ask you about a couple of rookies for this Cubs team before I let you go, Megan. Talking with Megan Montemiro of the Chicago Tribune here on 670 The Score. One is Pete Crow Armstrong, who you see the tools there when it comes. I mean, you can't miss him when you talk about the speed, the athleticism, what he does with the glove, what he does on the bases, but just hasn't been able to hit the ball consistently enough. How patient do you think the Cubs are with him and his struggles at the plate in terms of keeping him up here at the big league level and giving him consistent at-bats and chances to figure this thing out at the big league level?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is a guy that warrants patience. I mean, when you look at what he brings defensively, you know, the menace he is when he gets on base or even when he comes in as a pinch runner, I mean, those are so valuable. And, you know, part of it is, you know, the challenge of, you know, big league pitching. I mean, he kind of had forced their hand with his performance at AAA and what he did against those pitchers. And now he's learning, you know, how he needs to adjust. You know, a big thing is going to be cutting down on the whiffs, you know, and identifying the right moments to swing when he needs to be a little bit more patient at the plate. But his defense and his speed on the bases are just so valuable. And just make them such a better team that I don't think they're in the position right now to move away from that. I mean, obviously, a part of it is, like, you know, you can have that kind of bat slash toolsy player in the lineup when you have guys around him that are hitting. But, you know, when you look at the catcher production, you know, Dansby Swanson's been struggling. So, like, that bottom third of the lineup has been a black hole lately for them. So obviously that magnifies his offensive game a little bit right now. But I mean, just defensively, what they've been able to do when they put him in center, Bellinger can play right field or first base. It just collectively makes them stronger. And so, you know, I would expect some patience right now, because I mean, I don't think his offensive production, you know, is obviously the reason why they're struggling collectively. I mean, he's just too valuable in other ways right now.
The other rookie I wanted to ask you about was named to the All-Star game today. First Cub to make the All-Star game, or since first rookie Cub to make the All-Star game since 2015. And that's Shota Imanaga. And I was reading your tweet right before I brought you on regarding Shota Imanaga, 3.61 ERA in 16 starts. And besides his two bad starts, you point out, he has otherwise surrendered only 15 earned runs in 82 and two-thirds innings. That's a 1.61 ERA in those starts. I feel like he got off to such a hot start, Megan, and people were just waiting for the other shoe to drop in terms of, you know, major league hitters figuring him out, that when he had those two bad starts, you go, oh, well, here it is. The league has figured him out. But ultimately, it's just two bad starts, and other than that, this guy has been Cy Young quality for the Cubs outside of those two games.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at his fastball-splitter combination, I mean, it's just so tough on hitters. Like, when you're changing eye levels with the command that he has with both of those pitches, it's obviously created a huge challenge. And I think it's just really impressive. I mean, obviously learning a new league, learning new hitters. There's obviously the cultural adjustments, you know, coming from Japan to here. You talk to anybody around the team and, you know, they're all incredibly impressed with how he's handled all of it. A big part of that too is like has been seeing how he's adjusted after those two bad outings. You know, he didn't let them spiral into, you know, a bad multi-start stretch. He made adjustments. You know, the league will obviously continue to make adjustments to him too, and he'll have to tap into more of his secondary stuff. But yeah, I mean, he's been super impressive and obviously right now looking like a home run signing for the Cubs.
Last thing for you, Megan, and this is as much personal curiosity as it is being, you know, somebody who roots for and talks about the Cubs here on 670 The Score. I've spent most of my professional career in Milwaukee covering, talking about the Brewers, so I'm pretty familiar with Craig Counsell, and I knew sort of his mild-mannered, even-keeled demeanor throughout his time here. I wondered how that would play in Chicago, a few more eyes on you, a little bit more pressure on you. He's the same guy that he was, the exact same guy that he was here. Have you gotten any read on Craig Counsell to tell, you know, when he's being entirely truthful with you, when he's maybe got something to hide, when he's upset? Like, have you been able to pick up, I'd hate to play poker with the guy. Have you been able to pick up on anything when it comes to Craig Counsell and reading him?
I mean, I will say he has a good dry sense of humor that he knows how to unleash in the right moments, which, you know, you'll hear other people around the organization say too. Like, he can be sneaky funny in that way. But I mean, he's a very even keel, like focus on the day and move forward to the next, which, you know, I understand some Cubs fans from what I've seen would like to see him show a little bit more in-game emotion and maybe be a little more fired up in his interviews with media pre and post game. But that's just who he is. That's how he approaches things. I wrote about it after spring training. Like, he's very honest and upfront with players in terms of, you know, how he envisions using them, their role on the team. And it's something that they've really appreciated. And I think that does create some stability when you go through stretches like this when a team is underperforming. And I think it's been interesting just seeing really kind of how fans have reacted and taken in his demeanor and, you know, that even keeledness that you mentioned. It can be tough to show up every day acting that way with how things have gone for them. But you know, I do think it has resonated among players and in the clubhouse. And now, obviously, it's on them to get going.
That's Megan Montemiro. She covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. And you can follow her on Twitter as well for the latest on the Cubs. And my guest for the last few minutes here on 670 The Score. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Megan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Megan joins me on the Circa Sports Hotline. And also got to tell you, baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Right after this, we'll discuss the DeMar DeRozan trade, what direction the Bulls are going, what direction they can go, all of that coming up next. Rami Makhlouf with you right here on 670 The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
He's one of the best mid-range shooters in the history of the game as far as his mid-range efficiency goes, because everybody now is into analytics, which is great. But DeMar is, again, his shoots historical from the mid-range. And he does a great job of doing it the old-fashioned way, too, Mitch, in the fact that he draws fouls, he gets everybody on his pump fakes, and does a great job from that standpoint. So he can get some tough buckets as well as is at the end of the game. He does a great job of closing for you. So to add another closer along with Fox and Sabonis, you got two key guys, and you throw Monk in there, you got three big-time closers for a team in regular season play as well as in the playoffs. So he adds a lot to their offensive game, and he's sneaky good defensively. He's tougher than he looks, and you know he's a kind of a quiet kid, but he's Compton tough. So defensively, he can give you that edge and that grit too. He's one of the.
There's Dwayne Casey talking about DeMar DeRozan. What he'll bring to the Sacramento Kings after the Bulls deal him in a sign-and-trade that also involved the San Antonio Spurs, 2 second-round picks, and Chris Duarte. When I was talking about the trade earlier, I somehow left out Chris Duarte, a new centerpiece for the Chicago Bulls as they try and rebuild this thing.
Yeah, how dare you, man.
I'm sorry. My bad. I left out the
We won't
Olympian.
Stand for any Chris Duarte slander. I had to remember his name there for a second.
I left out the Olympian Chris Duarte, and that's my bad, man. Oh, all right? He's a Chicago Bull. No disrespect to Dwayne Casey. He's forgotten more about basketball than I'll ever know. I spent a little time in Sacramento. I don't really – and we'll get into the Bull side of it quick, but just what Dwayne said got me thinking – I don't really see how it helps them all that much. Those guys, both Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, their number one closer, one of the best closers in this league, they need the ball in their hands a lot when they're in the fourth quarter, when they're closing games out the way that they do. So does DeMar DeRozan. So I don't know if there's enough ball to go around for it to make a huge difference. They're better with him than they are without him. He's a good basketball player and better than whoever's roster spot he's going to take. That's not really what they needed. That's not what they were short on. But hey, good for them. They got a good player and a great dude in DeMar DeRozan.
I will say one thing with DeMar, at least when he was with San Antonio, he did average nearly 8 assists per game. So he was a facilitator in moments.
Okay.
If he wanted, that's the only way I could see that working. Because like you said, like if it's going to be DeMar DeRozan like he was for the Bulls, he averaged 25 points a game, but it was all in the mid-range. And it's not necessarily efficient. Passes up open threes to, you know, try and get fouled or go to the basket and get two. Those are good plays, and DeMar's really good at that. There's not a ton of value in that, though, when you're a team that desperately needs three. So Sacramento does shoot threes. They do have spacing, but I feel like the things that DeMar would be good at are probably the things you want Domantas Sabonis doing, right? Or maybe you want the ball, like you said, De'Aaron Fox is going to need that. Malik Monk is, I don't know if I call him a closer, but like the only way
he's been very good for them in fourth quarter.
He's a great shooter, and he does seem to come up in those clutch moments. That's true. And DeMar's good at those things too, but if he's going to maybe facilitate in those moments, maybe then it creates spacing. So I could see that working, but it's kind of the only way it really makes a ton of sense, right?
I still have a soft spot for the Kings, and I got people there from my time in Sacramento. So I hope it does work out. And I love DeMar DeRozan, so I hope it works out.
It's going to be it's a fun fit, involved. At least. I feel like Sacramento's going to love him. Like, light the beam up with DeMar, that'll be fun.
Yeah, and he's from California, so he gets to be out. It's not in L.A., but closer to home, although I've made that drive, and that is
an
awful, awful drive.
Ugh.
Driving anywhere in California is
You know what's pretty, interesting is Shams Charania actually reported earlier, he was saying that apparently the Lakers didn't even show real interest in DeMar, that it came down between Sacramento and Miami. Which,
really?
Yeah, really strange, right? Because everyone kind of assumed, like, you know, that was the guy that the Lakers were pushing for, and it doesn't sound like there was real interest, according to Shams.
Huh. I thought we had heard reports that they were in. Who knows what's true,
right,
and what's not, and who's just putting what out there for whatever self-serving reason.
Exactly.
But as far as the Bulls go, which is what most people within the sound of our voice, Sean, care about when it comes to this trade.
Yeah, it's true. As we break down the Sacramento Kings roster.
Yeah, really. Exactly. No, but I mean, this was what they had to do. But ultimately, and tell me if I'm wrong or if you need to get it off your chest, give me a call, 312-644-6767. You can call or text that number or tweet at 670thescore, at Rami, R-A-M-I-E, is tweeting. It's too little in return, and the same goes for Zach Caruso, and it's too little because it's too late. And I'm glad they're apparently moving forward. We'll see what other moves are yet to come. I'm glad they're moving forward, but I feel a lot the same way. And not to relitigate Fields versus Williams, and we're not going to have another town hall or anything like that, but if I feel a lot the same way as I did when the Bears moved on from Justin Fields, a guy who I was a fan of, a guy who I thought was a good player, but it was probably time to move on from him. Problem is, it had been time to move on from him if that was the decision that you were going to make. And all you did by waiting and waiting and waiting in both the case of Justin Fields and now with DeMar DeRozan and with Caruso, when there were offers out there for those guys, you just kept driving the value of them down, 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 because they're a year older, they're a year closer to the end of their contracts, because teams know how desperate you are to get out of it. They continually just kept on putting off moving on from this core of guys to do what? To be mediocre? To shoot for the play-in, the sixth seed at best? It absolutely made no sense. And because they did that, and because of the way that they went about things, it makes me wonder if Arturas Karnišovas and the rest of the folks running things over there at the Chicago Bulls are the people that I want leading us into this next phase, this new era, if indeed it is going to be sort of a tear down and rebuild. Because what were you thinking all this time? Well, first of all, I didn't think it was going to work when it was Ball, Vooch, and DeRozan. But we don't know if it ever would have now because of Lonzo Ball's injury problems. But once it became clear that Lonzo Ball either wasn't coming back anytime soon or wasn't going to come back and be that type of player, that type of impact anytime soon, you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs and watching a team go out there to be meddling, to be in the middle of the pack. For what? For what? And all the while, you were watching the value of these guys go down. Now you've gotten two second-round picks and Josh Giddey and Chris Duarte to show for trading those two guys. That's simply not enough. Weird reports that the Bulls traded on what could have been a top 10 pick for Caruso during the season. To end up with Josh Giddey? If you traded DeMar DeRozan when he was having his MVP-like stretch there in 2022, who knows what you could have gotten for that guy at that point? Trading him to a team that was in a playoff hunt. And on top of that, guess who was in the draft the following year? And no, you weren't going to probably fall. You probably weren't going to plummet to the bottom of the league where you'd have the best chance in the lottery. But the lottery has been leveled out a lot to where I think it's the top five or six teams have a pretty good chance of ending up with that number one pick. And you just decided to sit out on the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes? Just entirely, completely sit out on the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes? This teardown should have been happening back then to get in on that, because this was never going anywhere. This was never, ever going anywhere. And you were holding on to these guys and diminishing their value for what? And here's the scariest part. And tell me what you think about the Bulls and the way that they've gone about things this offseason. 312-644-6767. Give a call, send a text if you want to get in on it. Here's the scariest part about the whole thing. They're not even entirely out of being a mediocre basketball team, which is exactly where you don't want to be in the NBA. I know it's hard to watch a tanking basketball team. Heck, you might not even do it. You might not go out to the United Center. You might not turn on your TV. It's hard, but if you're not competing for championships, you might as well be at the bottom of the league and hoping that you get lucky that a free agent, a disgruntled player on another team who wants to be traded, or a top draft pick falls in your lap. Because superstars win championships in this league. And the Bulls haven't had one of those in a long time. All due respect to DeMar, all due respect to Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball and anybody else who's come through here, the Bulls haven't had a superstar since Derrick Rose. The type of superstar who single-handedly leads you to contention. They haven't had that. And none of those guys that they had were that. So it'd be good for them to fall to the bottom of the league and get in on the capture the game of capture the flag that's going on right now. But I don't know that they're even there yet. Because if Zach LaVine and Vooch come back to this roster, and right now nobody wants those guys' contracts, I will say this. Jim Cowley reported as we were on the air tonight that the hope in making the sign-and-trade for DeRozan is getting two second-round picks back that can now be attached to the LaVine package, but it's still a long shot, and the market has been screaming for over a year that there is not a lot of interest in LaVine. So they got those two draft picks, hoping they could package him with Zach LaVine, make him a little bit more attractive on the trade market. But there ain't a lot of interest out there with his contract. There ain't a lot of interest in Vooch with his contract. And bringing those two guys back to a core that's got Giddey and Kobe White and Ayu Dosunmu, they re-signed Patrick Williams. that's a team that could be right in the middle of the pack and fighting for a 10 or 11 seed. The only way out of it at this point is to do the same thing that you did with DeRozan and the same thing that you did with Caruso, which is take below market value just to get rid of those guys and maybe even slap a couple of draft picks onto one of them in a package so that somebody will take them off your hands. You've crashed the value of anybody who had value for you in this era. And you're still not out of the mess yet unless you can find somebody to take those two guys off your hands. Otherwise, you're probably still spinning your wheels in play-in territory.
Yeah, dude, they were on a hamster wheel that broke and they just kept running on it. And it's like, what are you doing, man? Like, we don't know, man, but we don't know what happens if we stop. You know, like it just feels like they just did not know what to do with this group. And now, like you said, you shot a ton of value. The only way they're going to lose some of these players now is if they attach these draft picks or like probably send a guy like Io Dosunmu in a trade. Like, and that would suck because they kind of need a guy like him. Or, you know, if they have to attach maybe Lonzo Ball and something, I don't know how that even works. I doubt a team would trade for him, but that's a guy maybe at the, you know, coming into the season, if he plays a little bit, recoup some value, you probably still have to take a loss on that. But the Bulls are either going to end up eating salary or sending players along with these other players that they're trying to get rid of in LaVine and Vooch. And it's just a dumb situation that they could have avoided. They just kind of accepted they made a mistake and kind of tried to restructure from there instead of having to do this all now to make sense of a direction that is the right move, right? Like, they should be going younger and trying to get talent, but you're going to just end up in the stupid playing game again and probably lose it again.
Got a text here that says, just called Alex Caruso Zach Caruso. Did I do that? My bad. And DeMar was a free agent. It was a sign and trade deal. He got to choose where he went. Yeah. Because they waited until now to do it. He wouldn't have been a free agent if they traded him during the season.
And even in that trade, they had to send Lauri Markkanen. That's how he ended up in Cleveland. So it was still kind of like, I mean, it worked out if the Bulls were a good team, regardless. Like, DeMar was a success here in Chicago. But yeah, it's still like, it was such a goofy situation to start.
There's no reason that they should be here. There's no reason that they should be sitting here having just barely missed the playoffs with no draft pick of value to have after the end of that season, and then to be in this position where you're trading all these guys with diminished value. They did this to themselves, and they still haven't even gotten out of the mess that they're in. They might still be right back in a very similar situation next year where they're just good enough to hang around the play-in picture and have nothing to do with Cooper Flagg. I want them to tank for Cooper Flagg. I don't know if they can do it until they can get somebody to take Zach LaVine and Vooch off their hands. Because, again, this is a roster that's good enough to be right in the middle of the pack. And that's exactly what I do not want. Give me a year or two of bad basketball, and hopefully somebody falls in your lap in that time. And even if it means, at this point, it is going to mean taking less than stellar value for a Zach LaVine and a Vooch. You're going to have to do it. They have to do it. They have no choice at this point, and they put themselves in this position. Bulls are doing too little because it's too late. How do you feel about the moves that they've made so far this offseason, the future of this Bulls team? Anything else? Last segment of Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score on a Monday evening and back right after this.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We asked our service that on draft night, and he said wait until the end of free agency and then he'll declare kind of the direction of the team. I mean, we've been tea leaf reading since the Caruso trade. You know, when you cash in Alex Caruso for a 21-year-old and Josh Giddey, that this is a youth movement. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to describe it publicly or message it, you know, organizationally. But I mean, look, they've added a 21-year-old and Giddey, a 19-year-old, and Luke Ellis in the draft. Re-signed Patrick Williams, who's young. Kobe White and Io are still on the roster. Let Andre Drummond walk and sign Jalen Smith in free agency. So, yeah, I mean, it's a youth movement. And how you get relevant again is by developing these players. And this is the next roster iteration. Obviously, when Arturis and Mark Eversley and their staff inherited their jobs in 2020, they cashed in a rebuild and obviously formed that first roster iteration. I always said that was probably a three-year situation, and that's what it was, 21, 22, 22, 23, 23, 24. And now this is going to be the next roster iteration, and, you know, looks pretty pretty sparsely filled out right now. I mean, you've got to obviously get some star power on it at some point. This is the direction they're choosing for now.
That was Casey Johnson with Mully and Haw right here on 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday evening. And, yeah, it's a youth movement if you can get somebody to take Zach LaVine and Vooch off your hands with their unappealing contracts. Let's just put it that way. And even if it is a youth movement, are these the guys we want leading a youth movement when we talk about Arturis? God, I have a tough time with his name. Arturis Karnišovas. Did I get it right? I think I got it right that time. Because they're the ones who have sat here and watched what we all knew was going nowhere for the last at least 2 years, and maybe longer than that when it comes to some of us. Not to pat myself on the back, but I knew this thing wasn't going to work from Jump Street. And they sat there and watched it for 3 years. While DeRozan's value tanked, while Caruso's value tanked, while LaVine's value tanked, while Vooch's value tanked, they just sat there and watched it to chase the sixth seed. Are those the guys I want leading the youth movement? And are they even going to be able to completely start a youth movement and get rid of Vooch and get rid of LaVine? And at this point, you're just going to have to eat some of the cost of that, whether it be in taking not a great return on the trade or picking up some of their money, something. And you have no one to blame for being here other than yourselves because you did too little and you did it too late. Got a text from the 608. Says, I don't like anything they've done. Just going around in circles. You are right. It's time for tanking. This from the 269, so troubling that no one but no one wants Zach, the Mac Zach. He was supposed to be networking when he was an all-star. No one still wants to come here.
Oh, boy.
Well, no one wants to come here now. That's for sure. And I brought this up, I think, the last time I was lucky enough to be on The Score, which is, for some reason, the Lakers have had success and have had troubles. They never lost their mystique or their appeal to superstars wanting to go there. The Knicks have never lost their star appeal when it comes to people for some reason. And maybe it's just that they've done such a bad job here of putting together anything that resembles championship basketball for so long that they don't seem to have the type of appeal that an organization that had the greatest player in the history of this sport and a dynasty run in the 90s should have. They've somehow wasted all that capital that they had when it came to the appeal of playing in Chicago and being a Chicago Bull and everything that came with it at one time. That's kind of gone, man. And that sucks. That's maybe the worst thing that Karnišovas and this regime and really the Krauses have done to this organization. Let me get in one call before I... Oh, no, I'm sorry. They dropped off. I was going to get in one more call before I wrap this thing up, but I'll just not do that instead. 773 says they had Jimmy Butler, and then your can't be a middle team led them from moving on from him. Okay. I was fine with that.
Oh, man.
Jimmy Butler wasn't carrying you to a championship either. You need a superstar. Superstar. Not star, not Zach LaVine level, not Jimmy Butler level, not DeMar DeRozan level. All due respect to all those guys. All guys who I'm fans of. None of them are good enough to single-handedly put you in the discussion for coming out of the Eastern Conference like a superstar does. Like a Giannis, like a Jokic, like a Doncic. Guys like that is what I'm talking about. And there are a few other around the league. Those are just the first few that come to mind. If you don't have one of those, you're really just spinning your wheels. So go ahead and tank this thing. Please, for the love of God, tank this thing. Take whatever you can get for Zach LaVine and Vooch, and let's move on. And maybe they do a better job with this one. My thanks to Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation, who joined me to talk some Bulls. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, easy for me to say, and Megan Montemuro, who joined me to talk about the Cubs as she covers them for the Chicago Tribune. Also, thanks to Sean Sears for holding down the ones and twos and helping me put this thing together tonight. And thanks to all of you for listening and contributing on the phones, the texts, the Twitters, and everything else. Until next time, I'm Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We asked our tourist that on draft night, and he said, wait until the end of free agency, and then he'll declare kind of the direction of the team. I mean, we've been tea leaf reading since the Caruso trade. You know, when you cash in Alex Caruso for a 21-year-old and Josh Giddey, that this is a youth movement. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to describe it publicly or message it, you know, organizationally, but I mean, look, they've added a 21-year-old and Giddey, a 19-year-old and Luke Ellis in the draft, re-signed Patrick Williams, who's young, Kobe White and Nile are still on the roster, catched Andre Drummond, let Andre Drummond walk and re-signed Jalen Smith in free agency. So, yeah, I mean, it's a youth movement, and how you get relevant again is by developing these players, and this is the next roster iteration. Obviously, when Arturas and Mark Eversley and their staff inherited their jobs in 2020, they cashed in a rebuild and obviously formed that first roster iteration. I always said that was probably a three-year situation, and that's what it was, 21-22, 22-23, 23-24. And now this is going to be the next roster iteration, and, you know, looks pretty sparsely filled out right now. I mean, you've got to obviously get some star power on it at some point, but this is the direction they're choosing for now.
That was Casey Johnson with Mully and Haw right here on 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday evening. And yeah, it's a youth movement. If you can get somebody to take Zach LaVine and Vooch off your hands with their unappealing contracts, let's just put it that way. And even if it is a youth movement, are these the guys we want leading a youth movement? When we talk about Arturas, God, I have a tough time with his name. Arturas Karnišovas. Did I get it right? I think I got it right that time. Because they're the ones who have sat here and watched what we all knew was going nowhere for the last at least 2 years, and maybe longer than that when it comes to some of us. Not to pat myself on the back, but I knew this thing wasn't going to work from Jump Street. And they sat there and watched it for 3 years. While DeRozan's value tanked, while Caruso's value tanked, while LaVine's value tanked, while Vooch's value tanked, they just sat there and watched it to chase the sixth seed. Are those the guys I want leading the youth movement? And are they even going to be able to completely start a youth movement and get rid of Vooch and get rid of LaVine? And at this point, you're just going to have to eat some of the cost of that, whether it be in taking not a great return on the trade or picking up some of their money, something. And you have no one to blame for being here other than yourselves, because you did too little and you did it too late. Got a text from the 608, says, I don't like anything they've done. Just going around in circles. You are right. It's time for tanking. This from the 269. So troubling that no one but no one wants Zach, the Mac Zach. He was supposed to be networking when he was an all-star. No one still wants to come here.
Oh, boy.
Well, no one wants to come here now. That's for sure. And I brought this up, I think, the last time I was lucky enough to be on The Score, which is, for some reason, the Lakers have had success and have had troubles. They never lost their mystique or their appeal to superstars wanting to go there. The Knicks have never lost their star appeal when it comes to people. For some reason, and maybe it's just that they've done such a bad job here of putting together anything that resembles championship basketball for so long, that they don't seem to have the type of appeal that an organization that had the greatest player in the history of this sport and a dynasty run in the 90s should have. They've somehow wasted all that capital that they had when it came to the appeal of playing in Chicago and being a Chicago Bull and everything that came with it at one time. that's kind of gone, man. And that sucks. That's maybe the worst thing that Karnišovas and this regime and really the Krauses have done to this organization. Let me get in one call before I... Oh, no, I'm sorry. They dropped off. I was going to get in one more call before I wrap this thing up, but I'll just not do that instead. 773 says they had Jimmy Butler, and then your can't be a middle team led them from moving on from him. Okay. I was fine with that.
Oh, man.
Jimmy Butler wasn't carrying you to a championship either. You need a superstar. Superstar, not star, not Zach LaVine level, not Jimmy Butler level, not DeMar DeRozan level. All due respect to all those guys, all guys who I'm fans of. None of them are good enough to single-handedly put you in the discussion for coming out of the Eastern Conference like a superstar does, like a Giannis, like a Jokic, like a Doncic. Guys like that is what I'm talking about. And there are a few other around the league. Those are just the first few that come to mind. If you don't have one of those, you're really just spinning your wheels. So go ahead and tank this thing. Please, for the love of God, tank this thing. Take whatever you can get for Zach LaVine and Vooch, and let's move on. And maybe they do a better job with this one. My thanks to Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation, who joined me to talk some Bulls. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, easy for me to say. And Megan Montemiro, who joined me to talk about the Cubs as she covers them for the Chicago Tribune. Also, thanks to Sean Sears for holding down the ones and twos and helping me put this thing together tonight. And thanks to all of you for listening and contributing on the phones, the texts, the Twitters, and everything else. Until next time, I'm Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.